Thanks, Nathan. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. It's an alarming statistic. One in 43 people in Baltimore is living with HIV. For the size of its population, Maryland has more people living with HIV than any other state. Treatment for HIV is getting better. People are living longer. The quality of life is improving. But many people who have the virus don't know they have it. They haven't been tested. And many who are tested don't get treated. Today is National HIV Testing Day, so we want to know what prevents people from knowing their status and what's happening to reduce the high rate here in Baltimore. As many as 800 people could be tested in the city tomorrow as part of Baltimore's 6th Annual City Uprising Block Party and Health Fair. With me in the studio to discuss these issues is Dr. Robert Redfield, Associate Director of the Institute for Human Virology at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, who directs the Institute's clinical care and research. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sheila.
And also with us is Derek Spencer, Executive Director of the Institute's JOCS initiative, which stands for Joint AIDS Community Quest for Unique and Effective Treatment Strategies. Derek Spencer, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
Give us the thumbnail description of what the JOCS initiative does.
The JOCS initiative is one clinical program at the Institute that is delivering primary care and also very much engaged in community engagement. So helping people live well with HIV in a typical kind of medical care type of facility. But unique to JOCS is its focus on community engagement.
And what's happening tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow we are having, as you said, our 6th annual City Uprising. And so we're having block parties around the city. We're joining with our sponsors from Hope Springs and Galloway Church and all the 6 schools at the University of Maryland and about 500 volunteers, Sheila, most from our city and some from out of town, who are coming to throw a wellness event with a focus on HIV. So we'll test about 800 to 1,000 people tomorrow at various locations around the city.
And the locations were chosen because they are areas in the city.
That's
with
right.
So they were chosen
two things, Sheila. One on relationship that we have ongoing with these neighborhoods and these organizations. And then secondly, because of the prevalence of HIV in those areas.
And we are going to list those on our website. Dr. Redfield, in simplest terms, what is the connection between testing individuals and actually stopping the spread of the HIV virus?
Well, one of the most important things to recognize is in 2014, we actually have all the tools we need to end the epidemic in America. And those tools are to diagnose, to gauge people in care and keep them in care, and to treat them. Because like many other infectious diseases, one of the most important cornerstones of prevention is to effectively treat the people that are infected so they become less infectious. So treatment is a critical component of any prevention strategy. But if we don't get people diagnosed, and we've made a lot of progress with that over the last 5 years, I think only about 20% of the people living with HIV infection in our area don't know it overall. But as Derek will comment, if you look at people between 13 and 24, it's actually 60% of those people that are infected don't know it. The real challenge is to get people into care and to keep them into care. That's where we really have a difficult time. In Baltimore today, only about 22% of the people that are living with HIV infection are effectively treated. So that means 78% of people are not effectively in care.
By effectively treated, you mean treated so well that the virus is so low in their bodies that they can't transmit it.
Yeah, so in other words, they're treated to the point that the virus is suppressed, and the ability to do that now impacts the ability for the epidemic to be maintained. So we always use this term community viral load. If we can get the community viral load to a threshold, the epidemic will stop. And the only way we can get the community viral load to that threshold is diagnosis, effective engagement and care, and to get people effectively treated.
Jamie Mignano, who does outreach for the JOCS initiative, couldn't be with us this morning, but yesterday she told us about one of the testing sites tomorrow that's really reaching out to a population that's very much at risk.
The First and Franklin Presbyterian Church is geared towards attracting youth and young adults ages 13 to 24. There's been an increase in new infections in this population. They actually made up more than 25% of new infections in 2010, and about three-quarters of those infections were among gay and bisexual males. Our surveillance data tells us that 60% of people in this age group that have HIV do not know that they're infected. In the broader population, it's only 1 in 6 individuals that don't know that they're infected. So we do know that there's a bit of a crisis in this population.
A crisis in this population. Dr. Redfield, I should say I serve on the advisory board for the Institute, so you and I have talked about this before. You have organized and led HIV/AIDS treatment in 5 African countries, 2 Caribbean countries. You've treated hundreds of thousands of people. How does this picture that Jamie Mignano painted of young people infected not knowing, how does that compare to what you see in Africa and the Caribbean?
Well, again, with President Bush's decision to have the United States contribute access to treatment to Africa, many of the young men and women in Africa saw this as a gift and took advantage of knowing their status and if they were HIV infected, presenting to one of these what we call PEPFAR clinics. So when we started in 2004, there were 25,000 people in sub-Saharan Africa on treatment. Today, it's over 7 million. So it's been an enormous contribution to the health of Africa. The challenge here is a lot of people don't see that this is an epidemic that's going to affect them, particularly in the youth, as you just heard Jamie talk about. One of the ways to confront the epidemic in the flesh and really see it in your own life is to be diagnosed. And in our country for many years, there was a lack of full engagement of the medical community to be the instrument to facilitate early diagnosis for HIV infection.
And that lack of engagement to be the instrument. Are you saying basically that primary care physicians weren't telling people to get tested?
Yeah. I think most people in the medical community
weren't testing people.
Yeah, they stayed on the sidelines. There was a lot of controversy. I think in retrospect, not correct. The CDC then, 2006, did ask all doctors and all healthcare professionals when they see individuals the age 13 to 64 to test them for HIV. It's taken a while. We're now in 2014, so that's 8 years later, and many institutions now are beginning to embrace the CDC's recommendations. That's why in Maryland we've made a lot of progress overall. I think only about 20% of the people infected don't know it. But that's still important to get that 20% diagnosed and in care if we want to basically maximize the ability to impact the spread of this disease. So the other thing I will say in our country, it's really important to realize that there's a lot of subpopulations. Just like Jamie said, I can say 20% of people don't know they're infected, but if I go into a group of adolescents, it's actually 60%. So we need to have innovative efforts to reach out to different populations that are more non-engaged in care and treatment.
That's Dr. Robert Redfield, Chief of Infectious Diseases at the University of Maryland Medical Center, here on Maryland Morning, WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Also with us is Derek Spencer, Executive Director of the Jacques Initiative at the University of Maryland Institute for Human Virology. Again, I'd like to hear Jamie Mignano describe some of the barriers that confront young people 13 to 24 years old, especially gay and bisexual men.
This population has a history of experiencing social rejection. So I think in some ways they're taking risks because of that, and not necessarily addressing or confronting this issue that they do know is prevalent in their population. But on the other side, I think that some of them have a bit of a fatalistic attitude towards HIV. They feel like it might be inevitable for them, and just are not getting tested or not getting into care because they feel like this disease might be inevitable for them or for their friends.
Derek Spencer, how do you address that kind of fatalism, that sense of nothing I can do anyway?
Well, that's really difficult, let me say. One is just to be sensitive to the issues in the community. So there's not only stigma as it relates to HIV, but there's stigma as it relates to sexuality. And so what we on purpose do is acknowledge that and make the Jacques Initiative, like many other medical clinics in this city, make it a safe place for people who are presenting and need care. And so that our providers are trained to be culturally competent and just sensitive to our clients. The relationships between providers and clients in this field are incredibly special. And we have to have those relationships so that we can be successful. I'll tell you the other thing that we do is we purposefully engage members of the community into our model. And so tomorrow is 500 volunteers. And who's going to lead one of the sites that's really focusing on youth and the LGBT community are our clients living well with HIV who are from that community. And they have built this site for tomorrow from the inside out. And so we've partnered with them. We've listened to them. We've respected them. And their participation is not nice. It's necessary.
And I think it's important to look at ways to empower them to eliminate the epidemic in their own community. I gave you an example before about Vancouver, IV drug-using population, where that population was empowered to all get diagnosed and all get treated, and now the HIV epidemic in Vancouver, IV drug users, is basically, it's no longer occurring. So again, if we can empower the sub-communities to not feel not that there's nothing to do, but more importantly to say, you're in power.
Yeah.
To take your community and work with us, diagnose, get into care, and we can stop the epidemic in your community.
Let me make sure I understand that. We're down to just a minute, but so let me just, when you, of course people are empowered to get tested. We hear all the time that testing is being offered. Why would people not be empowered to be tested?
You have to empower the leadership of the community. As you said, many of the people in, say, men who have sex with men may feel disenfranchised. They may feel there's nothing they can do, like Jamie said. If we can empower those individuals or the leaders in that community to provide leadership in the community of the importance of the whole community getting diagnosed, the whole community getting engaged in care, the whole community getting on effective antiretroviral therapy as a tool to stop the epidemic in the community. And I think that's where we failed. It's not just an individual decision. It's really a community decision. And when I say community, I recognize many sub-communities.
I'm sorry, we have to leave it there. There's lots more to talk about. We should talk another time. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Derek Spencer is Executive Director of the JOCS Initiative at the University of Maryland Institute of Human Virology. Dr. Robert Redfield is Professor of Medicine, Microbiology, and Immunology at the University of Maryland Institute of Human Virology. More information about the 6th Annual City Uprising Block Party and Health Fair, along with the list of where the testing will take place. More resources on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cash. Just ahead, Baltimore's German community at the start of World War I. Stay with us on 88.1.